Running a call center sales team is definitely filled with challenges, but at the same time, can be very rewarding. There is no manual for how to win the call center sales game, which is why this podcast exists. As your guide, our goal is to help you overcome challenges, discover new tools, innovate where possible, and hear stories from others who have made it to the top of the call center mountain. Welcome to the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast with your host, Jason Cutter.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Jason here, back with another special guest episode of the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast. I am excited, as always, for my guest today, Kobe Hastings from Leadrilla. So Leadrilla, let's talk about that first, then we'll talk about Kobe. So Leadrilla is a customer acquisition and management platform initially built for individual sales agents, mostly in the insurance agency. In 2018, they realized that individual sales agents aren't getting enough access to performance marketing industry like the large agencies and carriers had. So Kobe, partners, team basically looked at that, and now they deliver access to a pipeline of leads, pipeline of calls, all these things that they have going on to bring access to performance marketing to individuals. And now obviously working with agencies. The part with Kobe that's really awesome is that I had the amazing pleasure of spending a bunch of time with him. First, it started in March when we met and had a fun walk and talk at Lead Gen World in Orlando. And then we spent the 4-city tour with Leads Council and Leads Con for the industry impact events in June of this year. And thanks to Rob Seaver putting that together and making it such a great event, bringing people like us together, we got to spend a lot of time. And I was like, Kobe, you need to come on the show, especially after seeing what he was talking about from stage during his part of the presentation, talking about the insurance business, agents, leads, the challenges. And really what we're going to talk about a bunch is scaling the unscalable, which can be a challenge. And I wanted him to come on the show and share all that. With that intro, Kobe, welcome to the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast.
Thank you, Jason. Thanks for having me. Excited to be on. That was a good intro for Leadrilla. We may need to hire you to do that for partner calls and stuff. The wall.
Anytime you want.
Yeah, for a fixed hourly rate. So that walk at Legion World in Orlando from, I don't know, some steakhouse, seafood, I was so full. I have two kids now. I don't do much cardio. Jason's probably much more fit than I am. He's like, yeah, let's just walk over to Topgolf instead of getting an Uber. And I thought it was like 200 yards. It was like 2 miles. I'll never forget that walk. That we had some good conversations. So that was good. I'm glad you threw that in there.
Yeah. If you ever want to get to know somebody, just throw in a random walk instead of driving somewhere. And you'll learn a lot about people and see how they do with dodging traffic sometimes if there's not a sidewalk. So it was definitely fun. I love it. I thought it was a great, you know, instead of sitting down and meeting, got to know a lot about each other. And like I said, where I really see the value for the audience here is if they know who Leadrilla is and they know who you are or not, you started as providing leads and solving a problem where independent licensed insurance agents don't have access to leads, right? They could try to buy some leads, but they don't have good leads, performance-based marketing. And then you were solving that. And the story, which I won't get into, but started with your brother who is in insurance and just didn't have access and was doing all kinds of marketing and really high CPAs. And so you're solving that. But now you're getting into calls. Now you've done lots of things where you've built a platform where if we look at the people listening to this who are running call centers, owners or business leaders, and call center meaning telephone sales, inside sales, could be 5 people, could be 1,000 people, where there's the things that you're doing now for this spread out group of people. And I know that one of the terms that you have where it's now that you get into the calls, especially, is this distributed call center model that you have essentially with all these agents in the field. So talk about that and kind of not just what you've built, but like the best practices you've learned when trying to feed essentially a whole bunch of random salespeople who are in the network.
Yeah. So it's definitely been a challenge. You know, not many people in our industry service the independent agents. I remember when we started out in 2018, early 2019, we would go to conferences and we're like, 4 20-year-old guys from Kentucky walking through this conference and just like walking up to booths and talking to people. They're like, what do you guys do? Like, yeah, we're Leadrilla. We have a platform for independent agents. And they're like, you're crazy. And still to this day, I'd probably agree with them. But at that time, what we realized is independent agents have no access to the performance marketing industry, lead gen industry as a whole, because no one's ever serviced them. That no one really wants to put in the overhead and human cost it takes to service an independent agent that may have a budget of $500 a month. So we saw that as a huge opportunity. And with our background in engineering, we just went all in at it. And we built the software that automated every process from allowing an agent to turn on a campaign, setting their own configurations, what types of leads or calls they want, how many they want per week on a map, like geographically where they want those leads to come in, and give the agent full control over their lead buying experience. And so that's something that huge carriers and agencies have, but agents just historically have never had access to that. So that was our initial idea. It grew really quickly. It took a lot of work and a lot of pain to get it done. And we're still, you know, optimizing and making it better to this day. But today we have about 14,000 agents on our platform across life insurance and Medicare. We do a little bit in the residential solar space. Life insurance, Medicare are bread and butter. And so earlier this year, we launched calls. So our first 2 years were all data leads. Agents could set up campaigns for data leads. And then we had so much demand for warm transfers for these independent agents. And so we went about it in a way that no one has really ever tried with independent agents. And it's definitely been a challenge, and we're still getting better at it to this day. But you can think of it as a distributed call center where, you know, we have a couple thousand agents throughout the US that, you know, in their locale, wherever they are, so they're in Boise, Idaho, they can log on to LeadRilla, start a warm transfer campaign, tell us how many they want per day. And then we have the systems in the back end that can automate that with our partner call centers to route calls directly to agents. So you can think of it as these independent agents that are scattered throughout the US. They have campaigns live on our platform. And then LeadRilla as a whole becomes a large buyer in the industry, going out to pubs and sourcing calls from trusted partners to deliver to these agents.
Got it. So let's talk about the buyer side. I don't want to talk about the sales side yet, the act of selling and the either the independent agent, the agency, or let's say, you know, the call center, the lead buyer side of it. I always know there's challenges with that. And I know that in talking to you that there's some big challenges that come up relative to the buying and the act of buying the leads. And I know a couple of things usually fall into budget and then also into just a previous bad experiences with either buying leads or trying to buy leads or running ads. What are you seeing with that? Like the barriers that people come up with when you're chatting with them or they find out about you? And then what have you found works well to help overcome whatever may have happened in the past or whatever their limitations might be on the buying side?
Yeah. So one of the phrases you just said is previous bad experiences. So everybody's had those. And as a lead buyer, whether you're a small agent, you're a large agency, you're a large carrier, the term previous, like, I don't think that exists in this sense because you're always going to have bad experiences. If you're a lead buyer, you always have to test new publishers, new ad sources. Like, you have to test things. So I think for us, when we got into this, we were very skeptical when we brought in a publisher that we were buying leads from. But the more we learned about the industry is there's a lot of bad stuff out there. And I'll be the first one to call it out publicly on podcast or wherever it is. There's a lot of trash out there. So you have to be careful and be diligent in your compliance when you onboard a new publisher, but you just have to know, like, you can't have fear of, you know, you're putting a $10,000 a month budget to test a new lead source that it's going to fall on its face, because it very well may fall on its face. That stuff's out there. So for us, we are very strict on compliance, bringing on a new publisher, but we're not afraid to test new lead sources every single day. Because with testing, that's how you figure out what works well. And that's where you start scaling. So for me, I think testing is the biggest key to that as a lead buyer.
Where have you found the line, if there is one, when you're testing and a campaign isn't working in the beginning, and where it's the actual lead source or the leads themselves, or maybe it's the filters and parameters, and it needs to be tweaked or changed. And then, you know, I don't really want to dive into it fully, but then where is the responsibility, like, on the salesperson? Like, how do you know where it's failing and what could be tweaked to make it win in the test?
Right. So for us, we completely rely on agent feedback. So our customers that we're delivering leads to through their campaign, most of these are independent agents. Our support team, they reach out to our support team all the time. So what we do internally is track complaints on any lead that comes in. We have systems in place to detect if there's trends for a certain lead source. We'll know exactly that. We'll know the problem. Like if we're getting a complaint, like an agent says, hey, this consumer I called, they said they had to, there's so many things, like they had to click through this form to get their free Walmart gift card. That's an immediate red flag. Everybody in the industry knows that. So we're very strict on our lead sources, cutting people off really fast. If we get, you know, three complaints in a day or two from agents and those leads came from the same source, that source is out. We're done. You know, if they really make a lot of changes and want us to try something again, we're very careful about that. But we're, as a lead buyer for us, we're representing thousands of independent agents across the country. And those agents put trust in LeadRilla as a platform to deliver good quality. So for us as lead buyer, we're very strict. If we get a trend of complaints from a certain publisher, they're cut off pretty fast.
So I guess let's dive into the other side, because I know as a lead buyer and call buyer in organizations to feed an internal sales team, right? An internal call center. I won't say there's always reps that complain, but the reps will generally complain if they're not capable of or not closing those deals, that it's the leads, right? So yeah. Considering you have thousands of independent agents, they're not employees. You can't just walk over and have a conversation with them, right? They don't work for you. They're not afraid of you. They're not worried about their job. Like they're completely independent. And so how do you know which feedback to take from who? Because the feedback from a really good salesperson and the feedback from a failing salesperson generally should be taken differently.
Yeah. So I think there's really a couple sides of this. One is policy. We have very strict policies in our terms and conditions, and agents, they kind of know our policies at this point if they've been on the system for a while. So we do have to be strict in those. Sometimes for new users, if new to the platform, they may be a new agent in the industry. We're pretty lenient. We'll give them credit on certain outside of those policies. And so that's more the stricter side on our internally, just for us, to keep us above water. The other side of that is, and the approach we take is, you know, even though these agents, like you said, they're not employed by us, they're not scared of us, they're not afraid of they're losing their job if they call up and cuss us out, like they're not afraid of that. Our approach since the beginning is that these agents, they are our employees. Because these agents are, they're our business. If we don't have these agents, we don't have a business. We're probably not on this podcast. So we think of it in that way, that these agents are putting trust in LeadRilla to be their lead source, because there's not a platform out there that they can go to that gives them the control and flexibility that our system does. So we have to have their trust if we want to be successful. So we are always on the agent side 98% of the time. And unless we can tell an agent is just being nefarious, like trying to get free leads from us, which happens every now and then. But that's kind of our approach. Like agents, they're not technically our employees, but we consider them a part of our organization because that's the lifeblood of our business is the agents.
So treating them like employees is great. And again, I'm thinking of call center owners listening to this who have actual employees that they're feeding leads to. And then who do you take feedback from? How do you also either coach, train, manage, track things like speed to lead, like how quickly people are making these phone calls, right? On the leads that they're getting, not the calls. And then also like making sure they're actually doing consistent outreach and follow up instead of like, oh, I left one voicemail, your lead sucks, right?
Yeah. So these are items that are in our product roadmap and things that are currently being built now. I may drop a few nuggets here that I haven't said to many people. But about a year ago, we started tracking speed to lead. So when an agent, every time an agent gets a lead, they get a notification that they just received a new lead, whatever it was. And they can click the link there. They can log into the platform, view it in their CRM. Our system has a CRM too. So we track all of those events And so we have timestamps on everything, when a lead was generated, when an agent viewed it for the first time. So we have data points on how quickly an agent is viewing the lead. And that's not even reaching out. This is just viewing a lead. We've seen that some agents will wait over a day to even view the lead info. So we know they're not contacting them. And we can leverage that data. Like, say we have a large agency that comes on and does a white label model of our platform. They may have, you know, 100, 200 agents. We can give them direct feedback. Like, hey, Bill over here in Wisconsin, on average, he's taking a day and 2 hours to even view his leads. His sale rate is zero. But here's this guy over here, Jim. He's getting to his leads on an average of 7 minutes. And he's got a 9.3% sale rate. So like, we can leverage that data to feedback. There's things we're doing to track when they actually make an outreach attempt to the consumer. There's also like things with leaderboards, there's a team, like we're building teams to where an agency could onboard all of their agents, whether they have 3 agents or 5,000 agents. They can build internal leaderboards that leverages the performance data for each individual agent and how many leads they're buying, where they're buying. And they can have internal leaderboards where they provide rewards, and like the agency manager can run that. So yeah.
I think that's fascinating when we're talking about that speed to lead, like how long it's taking for someone to open it, look at it. Again, you're not talking about calling, but you obviously can correlate how quickly, like if they're even just opening it, then hopefully they're calling soon and just looking at performance. And I think that's some amazing metrics, especially when looking at it from a management perspective of any kind of performance lead system, which is then what feedback are you taking and from who, right? If Bob is taking a day plus to even open the email, and then Bob is complaining about how the leads suck, right? Then
yep.
are you really going to listen to Bob, right?
Right.
Versus Kim, yep. Who 8 seconds after she gets the email, she's opening it up. Pretty sure she's probably calling you right away. She says yeah. The leads aren't good or they're not qualified. Then, you know, you might take that opinion differently.
Exactly. Yeah. And we leverage that. Our support team does. So if somebody complains about a lead, we can go right to it, see how long it took them to view the lead. If it took them 3 days, we're like, it probably was a good lead 3 days ago.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things I remember. I don't even think we were talking. I think I heard you in one of the cities during the industry impact events where you were talking about, you know, some agents who were just like wanting refunds or complaining. And then just the stats that you had about how long it was taking them and their average time to even open yeah. the emails and click on the links.
Right.
It's just like that's the kind of data that any sales team should have and leadership should have. And most don't, which is, what is that time frame? What are we talking about? And then how does that relate to whose opinion you should take?
Right. Yep. And a lot of that comes down, you know, we could take the approach where we just get that support ticket. This person takes, they're just not a good agent. We could be like, oh, this agent's just terrible. They're never going to be a good customer. But for us, what we're building out is training and content to set expectations for these agents and teach them how to work a top of funnel digital lead. I think a lot of agents, as we've been in this business and started to scale and just seen more and more, a lot of agents just don't have good training, or they may have training and they don't watch it. So if we can provide that training and content and teach them how to work leads or how to take warm transfer calls and convert those to sales, they're going to be much more successful. And they're probably going to trust us because they're spending their money with us. And that kind of translates to, you know, a call center, a large agency that is using our platform, having that training, they can come in and just use the platform. The training's all there for their agents, and there's no overhead for them.
Hey, it's Jason here. We'll be right back to the podcast in a moment. But first, are you ready to help your inside sales team close more deals? In my experience, there's a certain percentage of your team that acts more like order takers than sales professionals. The first step to creating a scalable sales team is to equip your reps with the right mindset and proven strategies to transform them into quota breakers. To build a team of authentic persuaders that will crush their goals, email jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com or go to www.cutterconsultinggroup.com. What are you seeing as either training or let's just say best practices that companies need to be aware of when buying leads and then giving it to their sales team, where what you're seeing is different lead sources, right? Because I know that when you started out, you were doing Facebook. Now to just, you know, diversify, I'm guessing you're getting leads from other, like you said, the, you know, your approved partners that you're working with, yep, publishers. How do you address that with the individuals or the agencies where the way they handle lead X from this source is different? Or is it similar enough where that's not an issue through your platform?
A lot of times it's similar enough. At the end of the day, a lead is a lead. And I think the biggest misconception that agents have is a lead is a sale. This is not the case. It never will be the case. If it was a sale, then the lead never would have gotten to you because the consumer would have bought something online in the process of filling out the form and they'd be done. It's a part of the buying process. It's a long buying process for any product. I mean, life insurance, Medicare, any industry, there's a buying process involved and an agent needs to step in. Agents just don't understand that leads don't close at 100%. So a lot of that is just setting expectation for agents when they're spending money on leads.
That makes sense. Well, and it's good that with what you're talking about and providing that the leads are from a similar source. I know that one of the biggest challenges that I've seen is when a sales team or salesperson is being given leads from like Facebook, a web form, and then direct mail or a live transfer. And the way that you handle those, the conversations that you have, the pace that you need to go at, completely different, whether it's inbound, yeah, outbound, you know, what that looks like. So it's good to know that you've kept it simple where it's like, here's this.
Yeah.
You just do basically the same thing and whatever the source was that created this, it's the similar type mindset of that, you know, that lead. And I love what you said. A lead is not a sale. I see, yeah, that and I can totally visualize it in those terms, which people think, oh, well, I got 10 leads. Like, why didn't I close 10 sales? Like you're it must be the leads.
Like, no. Right. It's always the leads.
always the leads in that framework versus like, here's 10 leads. You should close one or two. Okay. Now, yep, the right expectation is set. Now they understand,
yep,
that what they're being fed or what they're buying is different. So then there's this other part, which I know this is important, both call center owners, but you're dealing with this as well. And then optimizing. And this goes back into, you know, who do you listen to as well, but making sure you have the data, which is dispositions, right? Because one of the things that happens when lead buying, running campaigns, feeding a sales team is the sales team is giving dispositions. What happened? Left message, didn't qualify, didn't have money, like, you know, whatever it might be. Then they put that in the system, hopefully. A lot of times they don't. It's not maybe not accurate or not. And then buying, yeah, decisions are made based on that. How do you, again, handle that where you may think of your 14,000 agents as your employees? They may or may not be at the high level of attention of detail that you and your data wizards want when making, right, these decisions. How do you manage that? What do you have in place for that? And then what do you do with that information?
Yeah. So, I mean, this goes back to earlier. We said, you know, the agent doesn't, they're not afraid to lose their job. They don't care about how they talk to us. There's just no care in that. So when you think about disposition, it's tough to collect disposition from independent agents. So what we've done is we have this lead platform where they can come in and set up campaigns to buy leads or calls. But on the back end of that, we've built a custom CRM for them to use. So when they buy a lead, it goes directly into the CRM and we allow them to record notes, change status, use it like a typical CRM. Over the past, since we started, we see about a 40% disposition rate. So, you know, if an agent gets 100 leads, we'll have 40 leads, we'll have disposition on them, whether it's appointment booked, there was a no answer, disconnected phone, et cetera. So we're working on ways to improve that. First, we use that data to optimize our media buying internally and also our lead buying from partners. And we look at that every single day and we have metrics and reporting that shows us what's performing best, what's struggling. If something's performing well for 2 weeks and then it's not for a week, we have reports to leverage that data and tell us. We're trying to increase that disposition rate. Ideally, we'd have 100%, but it is tough to incentivize agents. We've had ideas where we give them, you know, you get 10 cents of lead credit for every lead you record disposition on. Problem with that is agents would abuse it, and they'd have 100% sale rate because they would just mark them all as a sale or whatever it is. So what we're building is automations where this kind of solves, it kind of kills two birds with one stone. So a lot of agents are bad at outreach. Like we talked about speed to lead. They're slow to get to it. They think they can call them later in the week for the first outreach, and it just doesn't work. So what we're doing is automating the outreach. So we're releasing in about 2 months, a AI SMS bot that can hold a conversation with the consumer within a few minutes of them filling out the form on behalf of the agent. And so we put ourselves in the middle of that agent consumer relationship to do the job for the agent. That one helps us let the agents perform better. They're going to have a higher appointment rate, which is going to lead to a higher sale rate. It's also going to help retention for us just with our agents because they're more successful with our leads and calls. And then lastly, it gives us more disposition data because we're in control of that conversation and we can see what's happening in real time. So that should get us to about 75-80% disposition based on how many people use that service. And then that's going to allow us to even further optimize internal media buying, buying from lead partners, et cetera.
It's so fascinating when you're talking about everything. It would look like 100% sale rate because they would just pick, close deal, yeah. Sale mate.
Right.
What's interesting and I've always noticed is the number one disposition when I pull reports, when a team is not, they don't fully understand the point of dispositions, is it's always the first one in the list. Whatever's the first one in the drop-down list of dispositions, that's the one that will be the majority.
Yeah.
And I've matched phone call dispositions or phone call times and results with CRM dispositions. And it's like, you didn't leave a message. You talked to them for 45 minutes. Like, no.
Yeah.
But they're just doing that. And I'm not surprised if you try to incentivize that you're incentivizing, something that you're not going to get that result. I think the biggest thing for anyone listening to this, and this is where people just, they don't understand the independent agents you're working with. Obviously there's, let's say 40% of them get it. But the thing that salespeople usually miss, and this is where leaders, it's really important to make sure they understand, is that if a company is buying leads, paying for performance marketing, then if you want, as the salesperson, more of the good leads, right? The ones that are better to, better spend, better quality, the dispositions is most all that matters, right? Like the quality of the disposition will drive the quality of the lead buying and the performance marketing. And I think most salespeople just disconnect. They think, oh, this is dumb admin work and I don't like having to put a disposition. But that feedback is so important because buying it, and I know as a lead buyer, I have cut off campaigns. I did this early on because I didn't know better. I've cut off campaigns that were probably successful, but I used disposition reports and listened to the wrong reps and then
could have been inaccurate.
That had potential. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as a leader of a lead buying organization or a call center, large agency, like we said at the beginning when we started this, that you can't have fear to test. That's what I've learned in my time in this industry. And if you're testing and like throwing budgets at all these different lead sources, you have to have disposition and you have to have an accurate disposition. Otherwise you're just going to be testing forever and have no idea if you're getting the best value out of your media spend.
And or buying, going all in on a lead source that's actually not good, but the dispositions are misleading. I think that's great. So in looking at it, right, like where you've come, what you see in the industry, you have this fascinating view of, 14,000 independent agents in general, people in agencies, you're in the lead performance marketing space, you're dealing with buyers, call centers, things like that. What's the best advice you have for owners and leaders of, let's say, call centers and sales teams?
It's a loaded question. I would say don't be afraid to innovate. And I think when you're innovating and trying new things, don't be afraid to test new stuff. I mean, those kind of go hand in hand. Everything we've said here, as far as collecting disposition and data, like data has to drive every single decision you make. That's what we live and breathe on in here is data, what works, what doesn't, and it has to be accurate. So I would say, don't be afraid to test. If you land on a couple, sources that you're buying from or internal media buying, that if it works, that's great. You may have a great ROI from it and you're scaling it. but don't be afraid to pull some budget out of that to test new stuff and constantly test new stuff, because you may find another golden nugget that performs better. Yeah, that would be my advice.
I love it. And then one other question I have. So again, you have this fascinating view where not only are you looking at, you know, 14,000 agents over the lifespan of your business and where you've gotten to, but there's also the fact that you're getting some snapshot of buyers' behaviors, right? Like those prospective people, those humans that are filling out a lead form or raising their hand and saying they want help with something. You're getting to see that. Is there anything that stands out as a pattern or the way that buyers are different, whether it's pandemic related or not, now versus 3 years ago, 2 years ago? Like, how is the consumer changing? And or what if salespeople, what should they keep in mind about this consumer, any consumer?
Yeah. So, I mean, one on pandemic, I definitely saw a change. I don't know if that change was because salespeople changed and it kind of changed the buying journey for a consumer. Like, I think a consumer now and 40 years ago, before I was even born, I mean, I think they're raising their hand that they want a product, whether it's a hamburger at McDonald's or if it's a life insurance policy and they're searching online for it. I think consumers are just interested in a product and they want info. I think one thing that I've seen change, and I see agents that they take so many different approaches to sales. Some are really aggressive, but some I've seen that they treat consumers like humans, like they're people. These people have lives and like they have feelings and like they're interested in a product. And I've seen agents that when they get on the phone with a consumer, they know they're interested in a product, but they also know they're a human and they treat them like a human. And they have a conversation, just a very natural, organic conversation, asking how they're doing, you know, what do they like? And just getting to know them, I think they have had more success. And I think that's something in our training with our agents that we'll push towards, because consumers are humans. I mean, and I think a lot of times in sales processes, they get consumers aren't really thought of humans. They're thought of commission. And like, that's just not the right way to go about it. And I think when companies do go about it that way, whether it's a call center or these independent agents, like it's just not successful in the long run.
I think that's great. And I remember, not sure if you were in the room during that time, but when we were in Orlando for the Industry Impact event and it was Marty Collins from Quinn Street, he specifically made a point of that. It's like, this is not a lead that you're buying, right? This is a person who wants help or is interested in help, or you're reaching out to, hopefully they have, you have consent, but like, that's not a lead, right? That's not a sale.
Yeah.
It's a person. And to remember that. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I think even not just the people who push too hard and they're just only commissioned, sometimes what happens is people just get desensitized. You know, they're dealing with 5, 10, 500 calls a day. And you just forget, like, that is a person who has life happening to them. And
exactly.
You know, I love your advice about just remember that and have a conversation with them.
Yeah. And I think that's, I mean, industry-wide, across any sales, across any vertical, I think that's why there's so many, that's why the government is so strict on and aggressive on consumer protection laws and regulation, is because of sales processes and companies and agents out there that are aggressive. And it is offensive to a consumer because they're a person, and it should be. And so, I mean, I think that's one of the big drivers of why regulation is such a hot topic right now, and why the government is cracking down so hard on lead companies and marketing companies in general.
So speaking of that, like the regulation and compliance, where do you see regulations affecting like the compliance stuff and all the things that are happening right now as we record this late July? Like, where do you see that affecting your business, either making it challenging and or making it so that like services like yours and the lead generators for doing it right, like, so valuable to keep people like salespeople, organizations safe?
Yeah. So I think it's in the long run, it's going to be very, very useful for lead vendors in our space that are doing the right thing and taking matters into their own hands in terms of protecting consumers. We're going to be good. Like all the companies that are doing the right thing and really treating consumers as their customer, even though they're not really getting revenue, they're getting revenue from, you know, the call center or the company they're selling leads to, if you think of the consumer as your true customer, because none of us would be in business if there weren't consumers that filled out forms or called into phone numbers, I think they're going to be okay, because regulation is going to force the bad guys to either change and do what's right, or it's going to wash them out completely of business. So I think the guys that are doing it right, it's going to be beneficial. Right now, it's the world's crazy and there's new law, like TCPA changes every month. So it is a challenge now, like navigating that and making sure you're compliant in every aspect of your business. It is a challenge, but I think in the long run, the good guys are going to win. And that I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, it is interesting when you're on your side of the equation and focused on, you know, consent and compliance and all these things that you do. And I've seen this with organizations where it's like, it's actually good. It's like more stuff that comes out, the more it takes care of the people who give everyone the bad reputation or hurt a whole industry or make it challenging, right? Like look at the robocalls that were happening and then they just put things in place and shut down organizations or whatever. And it's like, good, because those ones are the ones that are ruining it. There was a time when people liked getting phone calls, and then it's like, what happened? And then it's like, wait, any call is probably some kind of scam or they're trying to sell me something.
Yeah.
And so I agree with you.
Yeah.
So then what do you see next for your, I know you guys are doing calls, but just the industry as a whole, or, you know, anything else that you see coming just in the whole industry over the, let's say the rest of this year into next year?
Man.
Crystal ball.
Crystal ball. Let me pull it out of my bag. Since I've been in this industry, got into it 3 years ago or so, just in my time, and we were a new company to the industry, I've seen a lot of new lead vendors. Service providers. Like I've seen so many new companies come into the space, which is really exciting. And I mean, those companies, I think over the next year are going to start to have an impact in the industry, whether it's AI software companies, new lead vendors with new funnels to generate leads. I think there's over the next 5 years, this is my big crystal ball. I think this industry is set to kind of have a technology takeover. It's a pretty old school industry from what I've seen. Before I got into this industry, I was in the Bitcoin blockchain space for like 4 years. So every company in that space was a startup, like building some type of software, like very futuristic. And when I got into lead gen and going to these conferences, it felt very old school. It's kind of a, who do you know, what's in your network to determine how to determine your success. But there's companies coming in with tech really changing and shaking up the industry. I think we're going to see a lot of that in the next 5 years. And I'm really excited.
I think that's great. Well, so for people listening, they want to find out more. I know that the main website for you guys is Leadrilla, LEADRILLA, like gorilla, but Leadrilla.com. I know they can also find you, Kobe Hastings, on LinkedIn. You're active there. Any other content, anything you guys are working on, any other places to find what you're working on or to reach out to you guys?
Yeah, that's us, Leadrilla.com. Our support channel is hello@leadrilla.com. So it's pretty easy to remember. If you hit up support, you can get in contact with any of us here. They'll connect you with whoever you need to talk to, even if it's me. So reach out. We'll talk up whenever.
I love it. Well, Kobe, I appreciate you being on the show. I appreciate what you're doing. Again, scaling the unscalable, which is not easy, but it's been fun getting to know you and watch what you're doing, even in the past, let's say 4 months. So thanks for coming on here, helping call center owners and doing what you're doing. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Jason. This has been fun. Thanks for having me on.
Did you get some inspirations of ways to help your call center sales team win bigger, stronger, and faster? Hope you are fired up to scale your sales operations. If you got value from this podcast, please go in and leave a rating and review. Also, make sure to forward this episode to anyone else you know in the call center space. We appreciate your support in growing the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast family. And if you have any comments, ideas, or feedback, contact us at CutterConsultingGroup.com.